I think in the mentor-mentee relationship, if you are a mentor, your response is incredibly important to when people are being really who they are, sharing sort of what their challenges are and that full picture so that you can share your best guidance or support.
Welcome to Be More, a podcast by Peakon. This is where everyone at an organization can hear different and meaningful perspectives on how we can all thrive in this ever-changing and constantly evolving world of work. I'm your host, Patrick Kornoyer. This is the last episode of this season of Be More, where we have been speaking to leaders around the world about their personal stories of mentorship. The mentorship process is very special to me. I have made every significant decision in my career with guidance from a mentor, and I have also learned an incredible amount about myself through mentoring, which is a bit of the story today. Steph Bertimer is joining the conversation to help us wrap up the season. Steph leads global leadership development at Twitter and has held multiple senior leadership roles throughout her career. And today is a bit of a personal conversation as Steph and I worked together for almost 10 years and have mentored each other in many unexpected ways. So today's conversation may be a bit different, a bit personal, and hopefully a bit interesting for you. Steph, thank you so much for joining the conversation today.
Thanks for having me, Patrick.
I have been looking forward to this conversation for a couple of weeks, I have to say, because this one is extra special for me because, Steph, you and I know each other.
We do know each other for quite some time now.
We do. We are not only friends, but we were colleagues for many years, and we'll get into that. But first, Steph, let's introduce you a bit to the audience and tell us a bit about who you are and your journey so far.
Sounds good. Well, I am a first-gen college graduate, so spent a lot of my time in the customer service industry, paying my way through college. And one of those customer service roles was for an airline. And at the time, it was a startup airline called Virgin America, where I worked it on the front line, eventually became a flight attendant. And I have many of stories to share there if you'd like to hear some of those. But it was there where that was actually a pivotal moment in my career. So I actually remember sitting through a training. It was flight attendant training. And I was sitting as a trainee and I was watching the instructors and I thought to myself, I'm like, I would love to do that. Like, that seems like a really fun, interesting job. So like I said, I was a flight attendant for a short while. And then the opportunity came up for a special assignment. And it was an email saying, hey, there's a short assignment where you can come into the corporate headquarters, do some training and facilitation. So I applied and got the role. And really, that was a big transition for me into more of the corporate world, into learning and development. So I spent almost 10 years at Virgin America in a variety of different roles in learning and development, and really grew my passion for people and for culture and for growth and development. So like I said, spent almost about 10 years there. And at the time, Virgin America was in Burlingame, which is in Silicon Valley, or close to Silicon Valley. And surrounding Silicon Valley was the Googles, the Facebooks, all of tech. And I'd always had an interest. I'm like, I wonder what tech is like, right? Because I'd been in aviation for so long. So finally decided to make the move to tech. So over the past several years now, I've been in the tech industry at companies like Hulu and Snap, and most recently at Twitter. But my passion grew for all things people. So moving beyond just development to more things like, what are the systems behind that? How does this all come together to create an incredible employee experience? So I had always thought about my career in a very linear way. It was be a manager and then be a director and then be, a VP. And for me, the North Star was VP of people. So VP of people and culture. So 2020, early 2020 comes, I get that opportunity. I become a VP of people and culture at an ad tech startup in Los Angeles. And it wasn't 3 weeks into my role that we went in complete lockdown. COVID really hit. And 2020 for me in that role was definitely an adventure. It was, you know, navigating, getting all of our employees to a fully remote workforce. It was navigating COVID and really just supporting all of our employees. And it was a difficult year for me. I really took some time at the end of the year to reflect back. And I'm like, wow, I am really burning the candle at both ends here. I'm sure a lot of people in human resources are probably still feeling that well into 2021. But I think for me, I had to get incredibly introspective. You know, the North Star was this title and this fantastic role. And I felt like I got there, but I was paying the price for it, both from family commitments to my own health. So decided to take a step back and really get deep to understand, you know, where are my strengths? What do I love doing? Where does my energy come from? And what I love most about my role was working with our senior leaders, our senior executives, working to coach them and on their development, working closely with their teams. So that led me to Twitter. And now at Twitter, I am in a very focused role where I'm focused on the growth and development for our senior level leaders and really a focused population. So our women's leadership programs, programs for underrepresented talent. But I couldn't have crafted a more perfect role. It's all the things I love into one role in a very focused way. So that's a little bit about my career journey. It felt like it went up, had to take a time, and now I'm exactly where I want to be.
I love that story and that journey. So, did you actively search for a mentor? Did it just happen? And then, in the flip side, when in your mentor relationships where you're the mentor, did people seek you out or did it just kind of happen?
Is that where we get to tell everyone that you're my mentor? Is this it? This is the moment. So, I think for our relationship, it felt like it happened naturally. I wasn't looking for a mentor. I knew for me, I was drawn to your leadership style. And it almost felt like you were a few miles down a path that I haven't been through, right? And had little nuggets of like what the path ahead could look like. So for me, that I found a huge benefit in. So it wasn't or haven't really actively search for a mentor. You know, it's interesting though, but I remember after leaving Virgin, I had expected, so these are my own assumptions and expectations, that I would find something else in my next sort of career move. And that just wasn't the case. So yeah, I wasn't actively searching for a mentor. And sometimes they come out of like, not out of thin air, but where you least expect them. And I think on the flip side, I've certainly been in formal mentorship programs and informal. And I find myself drawn to mentoring people who are ambitious, who are quick to learn, and who can't quite see what I feel like I see in them, right? It's like, wow, you have raw talent. Like, I think for me, those are the types of folks that I'm drawn towards mentoring. And then what I found recently is that a lot of people reaching out who are also first gen corporate tech world, first gen college graduates, really there hasn't been anyone in their family or close friends circle that has navigated that path. And I feel like those folks are drawn to me.
Interesting that you mentioned that you were in, you know, formal mentoring programs. We've had many conversations over the past episodes in this season around perspective with formal mentoring programs within organizations. The overall consensus is they're incredibly difficult to administer, and there's a lot of opportunity basically to make really effective mentoring programs, especially at large organizations. And some of the leaders that I've talked to have said, like, I've really struggled with putting together a formal mentoring program within my organization. Coaching is much easier, right? Coaching is very task-oriented. It's maybe project-oriented, coaching somebody to a specific goal, where mentoring is much deeper or much broader. It's not really time bound. It's more of a longer term relationship. How did you find, were you responsible for administrating a formal? You were. Okay.
Yeah. I've built formal mentorship programs.
That's amazing.
And I think that I had good success with it because it wasn't left up to chance. So it was very structured. And I played a heavy role in the facilitation of it, both from preparing mentors and the mentors and the mentees about what to expect, what mentorship is, how it's different from things like coaching. And there was actually real structure to the program. So a beginning, a middle, and an end. So I think that's where the success came from. We gave people guidance on what, you know, meetups could look like, what you can talk about, what you can work on. And there's people that naturally hit it off where, you know, their mentorship relationship went well beyond the program. And for other folks, it was like, you know, thank you for your guidance over the past 6 months. Like that was great. And that was it. So it's a bit of an art and science, at least from the formal mentorship perspective. And then I've been a part of mentorship programs with external companies, things like an organization called St. Joseph's Co-Talk that's really focused on giving women technical skills and abilities. And I just love that element. Obviously, I'm not an engineer, but it was more of that like, hey, how do you actually navigate the tech world? And I found a lot of value in that.
So are you a mentor to someone today?
I am.
Yeah. That's, and has that relationship been a long-term relationship? And the question behind the question is, we've been talking a lot this season about choosing a mentor and really being selective. Again, this isn't a non-structured mentorship type program. So this is just people finding a mentor for themselves. And we've had a lot of conversations around how to choose the right mentor for you. And also, the flip of that is, as a mentor, how to choose the right person to be the mentee or to mentor, because it has to work both ways. Absolutely has to work both ways, because you talk about the start of our mentor relationship years ago working together. A big part of that relationship for me was reverse mentoring. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much that I learned from you through our conversations and our process. Especially at that point in my career, I was incredibly ambitious. And I, to your point, I was thinking about, oh, this is the certain role that I want. This is the certain level. This is the certain title that I want. And I remember thinking in many conversations with you around, you're very level-headed. You're very thoughtful. You don't rush into decisions. And as a mentor, there's very much the ability for reverse mentorship, where you learn so much from the person that you're mentoring. So first off, thank you for that, because you helped me with that quite a bit.
You're welcome.
So, but like, if I think about it now, I mentor a number of people now. I have mentors in my career now as well. But I really had to think about what was the right relationship. And so in the mentor relationship that you are in now, where you are the mentor, did it just kind of naturally happen? Was it like was it selected? And you don't have to go into the details about it, but I'm just curious about how it came together.
Yeah, it actually started. So maybe this is the pattern here. It started at work, actually. It was several years ago. And I wasn't the direct manager of my mentee, but we worked very closely together. And I just noticed like she was incredibly creative, like picked up things very quickly, but didn't have more of like the formal training in the, you know, the specialty that we have. So it just started very subtly, like, hey, what do you think about taking this course? Or, hey, you know, here's some things that I learned along the way. Why don't you take these and maybe they can help, you know, your work product? So it started very subtly like that. And then once I had left the company, it just continued on. And I feel like why I was drawn to her, yes, absolutely, that reverse mentoring. Like for me, it's like she had that creativity where I'm like, you know, I am the very thoughtful, but like that fun, creative element, I felt like we really balanced each other out. And it just also evolved. Like it started out as a mentorship. It's part friendship. It's part, like it kind of flip-flops sometimes.
Have you ever had any bad mentoring experiences? And if I'm one of them, it's okay. You can tell the world.
No. I think really like you are my one true mentor. I've definitely had unenjoyable experiences where other people have tried to like teach me things or like it was like the not consensual mentorship. It's like, no, yes. Thanks.
Yes.
I'm good.
That's actually a very good point because both people in a mentoring relationship have to show up, have to be committed to it, have to want it. And it's work. It takes focus. It takes energy, but both people have to be committed to the success of it. I really believe that because I do think that's where some of the not so pleasant situations happen.
Yeah.
What do you think about people reaching out to ask for mentorship from somebody that they don't know, but that they admire or that they aspire to be like? We've had some conversations and I'm curious what you think about that. And I'll be really honest, I don't really know. I've never done that personally.
Yeah.
But I can maybe see how that could be appealing for somebody, particularly maybe at a certain level within an organization. So maybe a CEO of an organization or somebody who is a senior executive or something where it may be more challenging to find a mentor. But what do you think about that? Like,
Yeah, the cold reach out.
Yes, the cold aspirational, really inspired by somebody and saying, hey, I want to learn your ways. I want to learn how you have made your success. Do you think that's mentorship?
I don't know if that's mentorship, like in the truest form. I feel like it's, I don't know, inspirational guidance, maybe. That one's hard. I was thinking about this recently, even like when, you know, people just reach out to ask for advice or additional thoughts. Like, I think when those work is when you're really clear about what you're looking, not to achieve, but what you hope to get from the relationship, right? Is it inspiration? Is it some being really specific with what the ask is? I think very inspirational people, very successful people, I'm sure they get, you know, a ton of requests. So how do you think about as a really busy, successful person, how you spend your time, where you want to invest your time and who you invest your time in? I don't know that actually works. But I've certainly seen it at the more senior levels in those like the networking groups or, you know, people in similar situations, or maybe, you know, it's a CEO that you admire. I certainly seen that work, but I'd say at the more mid and junior levels, maybe it gets a little bit harder.
The challenge that I see with it is that every relationship that I have had when it comes to mentoring has been based on some sort of a personal connection that I have with the person. I think that's why mentorship relationships work so well. Is when you can just be your total self. Like you're not thinking about impressing somebody or saying the wrong thing or making a mistake. I feel that is so necessary in a valuable and successful mentoring relationship. And I don't know if I would have that with somebody I didn't know.
Yeah, I definitely can see that. I mean, initially I felt like the common ground for me and the thing that really drew me to you was like your career drive. And that was something that was personally important to me. Like when we talked earlier about, hey, my path felt very linear in my mind. I felt like we had similarities there. And even, you know, initially, as we started getting to know each other, I didn't always feel comfortable like with my mistakes. Obviously you saw them happen real time, but it was that even though I made mistakes, you showed up, you showed support. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I can be more of my authentic self with Patrick. So I think in the mentor-mentee relationship, if you are a mentor, your response is incredibly important to when people are being really who they are, sharing sort of what their challenges are and that full picture so that you can share your best guidance or support.
I really believe that choosing a mentor based off of maybe it's not even choosing. Honestly, I think it's the evolution of a mentor relationship, and it just kind of happens. And for many of the people that I've talked to about mentoring the overall consensus is that these are almost lifelong relationships. They're multiple years. They're not time bound at all and can go 6 months, a year without speaking to a mentor or a mentee. And then when you revisit or reconnect or have a need or in either direction, it's like no time has passed or that, you know, you still have that relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like a professional friendship. Yes. I don't know how how I would describe it, but not from a company perspective, but yeah, I certainly feel that way as well. Like it's just those constant beats throughout a lifetime at really important times and even not in important times and in the fun times as well. So,
well, first off, I mean, I feel like I say this at the end of almost every episode, but I really mean it. I just feel like I could talk for a long time. Like, I mean, I love these conversations, and particularly with you. Thank you for everything that I have learned from you over the past, like you said, 10 years or 12 years, because I've learned so much about myself not only in a professional setting, but just in general from our relationship and our mentor relationship. So thank you for that.
It's been great to see you and talk to you. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
I love this. And I love you joining the podcast and sharing the conversation. Thank you.
And that was Be More, a podcast by Peakon. Be sure to search for Be More in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, or anywhere else that you get your podcasts from. And go ahead and subscribe so that you don't miss out on any future conversations. On behalf of the team here at Peakon, thanks for listening.